नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य विशुद्धा शील प्रभुपाद की हरे कृष्ण। सो दिस सेशन इन दिस सेशन वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस अबाउट श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु गौर कथा। हु इज गौर? श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु। एंड कथा मीन्स वेल कथा मीन्स टॉक। वेरी गुड। टॉक अबाउट मीनिंग डिस्कशन अबाउट श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु। हु इज श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु? Raise your hands, those who know. Take it for granted. So, who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Very good. Which Supreme Personality of Godhead? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is Krishna?
Supreme.
Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. There are many Supreme Personalities of God. How? Although He is one, He expands Himself. They are called avatar, His incarnations. He expands Himself. Actually, the Lord's expansions again take place in two ways. One is Swamsa expansion and the other is Vibhinnamsa expansion. And Swamsa expansions are like He Himself multiplying into many. And Vibhinnamsa are His parts and parcels. So, well, again, we can consider this Samsa and Vibhinnamsa through this example of the sun. Sun can, just consider, one sun is multiplying into many. Just imagine, one sun became 2, 3, 4, 20, 50, 70, 100, 2,000. Many ways, the same sun with the same amount of potency, same identity, is expanding Himself. If we imagine that expansion, then Krishna expands Himself. One Krishna becomes 2, 4, and so forth. Same Krishna, one Supreme Personality of Godhead, expanding Himself. They are the Swamsa. And the rays coming out of the sun, the rays coming out of the sun, also part and parcel of the sun, has the same quality, although quantitatively different. So these rays of the suns are Vibhinnamsas. So the incarnations are the expansions of the same sun into many, same Krishna into many, and Vibhinnamsas are His rays coming out of the sun, innumerable rays coming out of the sun. They are the Vibhinnamsas, expansions. The Swamsa and Vibhinnamsa, expansion. Now, one sun became many. So now you consider the original sun, that became many. Although same, qualitatively and quantitatively both, but that original sun is Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. How many of you remember that verse, Avatar Hi Asankhayo, Srimad Bhagavatam? Okay, you may not remember that verse, but the one after that is Ete Changsha Kalapumsha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Sai. Do you remember how this verse is coming? There are many descriptions of various incarnations. 22 different incarnations have been described. And then it has been described that avataro hi asankhayo, that in this way there are innumerable incarnations. So there are innumerable incarnations of Krishna, but Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Swayam Bhagavan, original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you see the difference between avatar and Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma Samhita gives another example in that context. Deeparchireva hi dasantaram abhupetya. How many of you remember this verse? Everybody should know. Just as one lamp lights other lamps, and when the lamps are lit, they give out the same amount of light, same amount of heat, qualitatively, they are same. There is no difference between the first lamp and the nth lamp. But the first lamp is the one that lit the other lamps. So Krishna can be considered to be that original lamp that lit the other lamps, from whom all the other incarnations have appeared. Although in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned Sambhavami Juge Juge, which means I appear in every millennium, every Yuga. Not only once, Krishna appears in many, many forms in each Yuga. But Krishna doesn't come in every Yuga. Who come in every Yuga are the incarnations. Avatars come in every Yuga. There are so many different types of incarnations. One is Yugavatar. Every Yuga, the Lord appears to establish Dharma Samsthapanartha, in order to establish Dharma. He comes as Leelavatar. He comes as Purushavatar. Vishnu, three forms of Vishnu are the Purushavatar. Ram, Varaha, Nrisimha, Kurma, these are the Leelavatars. Then Manvantara avatar, and then Shaktavesh avatar. So these are the six types of incarnation that the Lord manifests Himself in. But then said avataruhi asankhayo, there are innumerable incarnations. But Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, that this Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna comes only once in a day of Brahma. Now what is the duration of Brahma's day? What is the length of Brahma's day? 1,000 Chaturyugas. 1,000 Chaturyugas. Satta, Treta, Dwapar, Kali put together make one Chaturyuga or Divvayuga. And 1,000 such Chaturyugas make a day of Brahma. And same is the duration of Brahma's night. So in a day of Brahma, this original Supreme Personality of Godhead comes once. When? Then also there is a consideration. There is a fixed time when He comes. Just as I was supposed to come to give the class at 4:30, I came at 4:30. Krishna also comes in a day of Brahma at a specific time. How? At when? Why? When? Almost at noontime. Almost at noontime. Not quite, just little before noontime. How do you calculate? In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. Now, in a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And so you divide 1,000 by 14, what do you get? About 71. So the duration of one Manu's reign is 71 chaturyugas. So out of the 14 Manu, the 7th Manu is Vaivashvata Manu. Who is the first Manu?
Swayambhuva.
Swayambhu is Lord Brahma. Swayambhuva is Brahma's son Manu. The first Manu came from Brahma. Then Sarochisha, then Uttama, etc. So the 7th Manu is Vaivashvata Manu. And just as Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Imam Vivashvate Yogam. Praptavan. So Vivashvan is the sun god and his son is Manu. Manor Ikshakube, Imam Vivashvate Yogam, Praptavan, Aham Abhayam, Vivashvan, Manave Praho. Vivashvan spoke to Manu. So who is this Manu? Vivashvan's son Manu. His name is Vaivashvata Manu. Manor Ikshakube Abhravit. Then this Vaivashvata Manu spoke to his son Ikshaku. And in this Ikshaku dynasty, Lord Ramchandra appeared. So, what is the length of, what is the duration of one Manu's rule? One or Manu's tenure? 71 Chaturyuga. Satta Treta Dwapar Kali. But out of this 71, on the 28th Chaturyuga, on the 28th Chaturyuga of Vaivashvata Manu's reign, in the Dwapar Yuga, towards the end of Dwapar Yuga, towards the end, Dwaparero Sheshe, at the end of Dwapar Yuga. End in the sense that when Krishna leaves, Dwapar Yuga ends, Kali Yuga begins. Another consideration here. Generally, the movement of the time in the bigger sphere is not really Satta, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. The sequence is Satva, Dwapar, Treta, Kali. Satta is first. Dwapar means second. Dwapar is second. Treta means third. And then Kali. Now, if Dwapar is second, then how come Dwapar is coming third and Treta is coming before? Because in this particular Manvantara, during the 28th Manvantara, there is a switch. It switches. Dwapar comes after and Treta comes before. Thank you. You know why? Because in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna will come at the end. And in the following Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Krishna will come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, if Dwapar Yuga came and then thought Treta Yuga, then Kali Yuga, people would have forgotten about Krishna. Right? The link would have been lost. Therefore, in this particular, the 28th Chatur Yuga of Vaivashvata Manvantara, a very special thing occurs. The yuga switch. Dwapar comes after Treta. And in this Dwapar Yuga of Vaivashvata Manvantara, 28th Dwapar Yuga of Vaivashvata Manvantara, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, comes. The original Supreme Personality. This personality is not an incarnation. And what's the specialty about this original Supreme Personality of Godhead? The specialty about this original Supreme Personality of Godhead is that He is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or He is not God. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead is not God. He is a cowherd boy. And He resides in a very special place. Where is that place where He resides? That place is Golok, which is the topmost region of the spiritual sky. The general understanding of the spiritual sky is Vaikuntha. But this Golok is beyond Vaikuntha. Now the question is, why is that? Because the original Supreme Personality of Godhead relishes a very special relationship with His very special devotees. What are those relationships? Those relationships are friendship, parental, and conjugal. Now these relationships are not possible, it's not possible to establish these relationships with the Supreme Personality of God. If you know that He is God, can you treat Him like a friend? If we know that He is God, then it's not possible to treat Him like a friend. Why? Why not? Because of friendship among the equals. An example can be given in that respect, that the friends play games. One of the favorite games is wrestling. And one of the conditions of wrestling is whoever loses has to carry the winner on his back. So sometimes in this wrestling match, Krishna loses. And the friend demands, now Krishna, you have to carry me on your back. Krishna said, no, I won't. So why? That's the condition. You have to carry me. Krishna said, I didn't win. I didn't lose. There was a banana peel and I slipped. And when I slipped, you jumped on me and started to claim that you have won. The friend said, Krishna, after such a lot of struggle, I defeated you. And now you are saying that there is a banana peel and you slipped. Where is the banana peel? Saying that the friend forces his way onto Krishna's back. So now consider, to force his way onto Krishna's back, what he had to do? He had to put his foot on Krishna's body and climb onto Krishna's back. Now which devotee will ever feel like going to the altar and put his foot on Krishna's body? Will any devotee be able to do that? No. You know, if the awareness is there that He is the Supreme Personality of God, then how can one treat Him like that? So that's why, and anyway, now friendship is among equals. The parents have become superior and Krishna has become subordinate. Now who can become greater than the Supreme Personality of God? And then conjugal, a loving relationship like that of between a boy, young boy and a young girl. As if they are having a secret love affair. So how is it possible to develop these relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Yes, these relationships are not possible with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to have that relationship, then can He do that? Can He have that? Yes, no one can be equal to God, but God can be equal to somebody. No one can be superior to God, but He can be subordinate to somebody if He wants. Now Vrindavan is the region where Krishna has created that atmosphere through the arrangement of Jogamaya. It's Jogamaya's divine arrangement that everyone forgot that Krishna is God. Again, we have to remember, there are two types of forgetfulness. One kind of forgetfulness is out of ignorance. And the other forgetfulness is out of love. We can forget out of ignorance. That anybody, at least we understand what it is like. But forgetfulness out of love. An example, the son has become the prime minister. And It's not that the mother doesn't know that he is the prime minister. But does the mother treat the son like a prime minister? Why not? Because of her love for him, she has a special relationship with him. That relationship supersedes this consideration. And so that is another kind of forgetfulness. It's not forgetfulness, but it is kind of not giving any importance to that. So that is the mood that prevails in Vrindavan. Due to their intense love for Krishna, they kind of forgotten that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that they do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but their mood is, well, you may be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so what? What really matters is, you are my friend. Even if you are not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you would have been my friend and I would have had the same sort of feelings towards you. So that is the mood of the devotees in Vrindavan. And they develop, because of that, they develop these very special relationships with Krishna. In friendship, in parental, and in conjugal. So Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma to reveal his Braja Leela. And after performing his Braja Leela, Krishna considers that I have now performed my Braja Leela, but how will anybody ever understand these pastimes? How will anybody ever understand the glory of Vrindavan and my pastimes there? Because, mind you, just this morning, as Ravindra Prabhu discussed, the four sampradayas, they're Vaishnava sampradayas. They're Vaishnavas, but they didn't actually have the awareness, a specialty of Krishna in Vrindavan. They used to think that this Krishna is actually an incarnation of Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. And in this incarnation, he is enacting his Braja Leela. They didn't understand that Braja Leela is actually beyond Vaikuntha. They were simply concerned about Krishna's Vaikuntha Leela, where the Lord is the Supreme Personality of God. So in order to make people understand the specialty of his Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna decided to come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna came as a devotee. Briefly also I will consider another thing, that in the spiritual sky there are two regions. One region is Vaikuntha, and the other region is Vrindavan. And there are two types of devotional service, Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. In Vaidhi Bhakti, when one renders devotional service and achieves his perfection, he goes to Vaikuntha. And the way to enter into Vrindavan is Raganuga Bhakti. Now, the scriptures are saying that if one renders devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, following Vaidhi Bhakti will enter into Vaikuntha. But Vrindavan is beyond Vaikuntha. Now, when one follows, and the scriptures are also saying that if one renders devotional service without following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidhin, Bina, Vaikantiki, Harir, Bhakti, Utpato, Iva, Kalpati. If one renders devotional service without following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, it will simply create a disturbance in the society. So, in a way, the other type of bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, is being discouraged. that if one renders devotional service without following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, it will simply create disturbance. And Krishna also considered, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is described, Krishna also considered that the whole world, shakal jagate more kore bidhi bhakti, the whole world worships me following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, following Vaidhi Bhakti. But following Vaidhi Bhakti, one cannot get access to Vrindavan. So how will anyone ever enter into Vrindavan? Therefore, Krishna decided to come not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as a devotee in the age of Kali. The purpose, the main reason, or the external reason of his coming in the age of Kali is to create access to Vrindavan for the devotees after enacting his Braja Leela. So that is why Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now the question arises, then okay fine, worshipping Krishna as a devotee, one will have access to Vrindavan. But you said that Raganuga Bhakti is the way to Vrindavan. Okay, now Krishna solved that problem also. The whole world will worship Krishna following Vaidhi Bhakti. Now, serving this devotee Krishna, following Vaidhi Bhakti, automatically takes the shape of Raganuga Bhakti. How? Krishna came as a devotee, meaning what? Krishna came as assuming the mood of Srimati Radharani. Now let's go to the meaning of the word Raganuga. Rag means pure love. In Vrindavan, the residents have the pure love for Krishna. Raga, therefore they are called Ragatmika Bhaktas. And when the Ragatmika Bhaktas are followed, then it becomes Raganuga Bhakti. Anuga means following. When the Ragatmika Bhaktas are followed, Anugas, Anugami of a Ragatmika Bhakta becomes Raganuga Bhakti. Now Krishna came assuming the mood of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, when we are following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are we following? Srimati Radharani. Therefore, following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is automatically taking the shape of Raganuga Bhakti. And that's why it is very, very important to understand who Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, is, what is the specialty of his pastimes in Vrindavan, and how, following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will have access to Vrindavan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his very beautiful pastimes, wonderful pastimes, have established his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He came as a devotee. He did not say that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, he is trying his best to hide his identity. But he is becoming exposed. One such example is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri after taking sannyas. And when he went to Jagannath temple, after seeing Lord Jagannath, he fainted. And Sarvam Bhattacharya, the greatest scholar of the assembly of King Pratap Rudra, was there. And he was very impressed to see this young, extremely handsome sannyasi. He could detect that he is displaying the ecstatic symptoms. He was a scholar, great scholar. So he knew about these ecstatic symptoms, but these ecstatic symptoms are natural. Normally, they are not to be found, not visible. In very, very exalted devotees, these ecstatic symptoms become manifest. And he saw these ecstatic symptoms in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personality. And so affectionately he took him to his house. He was unconscious. He had his men carry him to his house. And in the meantime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's other followers came to Jagannath temple, and upon inquiring, they got to know that Sarvam Bhattacharya has taken this personality to his house. When they went there, he was still unconscious. But they started to chant the holy name, and then Mahaprabhu came back to his external senses. And Mahaprabhu's associates started to speak about who this personality is. When Sarvam Bhattacharya asked, they said, "This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Sarvam Bhattacharya, very learned scholar, actually he was the greatest exponent of Vedanta philosophy of his time. An extremely erudite scholar, brilliant. He was so exalted that even the although he was in the household order, the exalted sannyasis used to come to reconfirm their sannyas by his teaching, becoming fixed up in their sannyas order. And the Sarvam Bhattacharya contested that. He said that, "Well, I can accept that he is a great personality, but I can't accept that he is a supreme personality of Godhead. You are just a bunch of sentimentalists." And Sarvam Bhattacharya's brother-in-law was Gopinath Acharya, who knew Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Navadvipa. So Gopinath Acharya had a big argument with Sarvam Bhattacharya. And he even went to the extent of telling that you are not fortunate enough to recognize that he is the Supreme Personality of God. You don't have the right kind of vision to see, because your heart is so contaminated that even though he is standing in front of you, you don't recognize that he is the Supreme Personality of God. Anyway, generally the brothers-in-laws have some relationship among themselves, so he took advantage of that. And then Sarvam Bhattacharya considered that this person is very handsome, he's young, and he is so sentimental. So he expressed his doubt that he would be able to maintain his sannyas. And for a sannyasi to fall down is, according to the Vedic culture, is very, very unfortunate. So he decided that he would fix him up in his sannyas order, and by giving him the teachings of Vedanta. So Gopinath Acharya became very upset. He said, "What are you talking about?" But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "Look, he is my well-wisher. So if he wants to benefit me in this way, it is a display of his mercy, display of his kindness." And so he accepted to take the instructions from Sarvam Bhattacharya. Then Sarvam Bhattacharya started to teach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, started to explain Vedanta Sutra. For 7 days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened without saying anything. He just silently listening. So Sarvam Bhattacharya considered whether he is understanding what he was talking. And so he asked Krishna Chaitanya, "Do you understand what I am saying?" So he replied, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Yes, I understand the sutras, the aphorisms, but I don't understand your explanations, your commentary." So he said, "Look, my explanations are to clarify the meanings of the sutras, and you say you understand the sutra but do not understand my bhashya." So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that your bhashyas, what you are saying, is not really explaining the sutra. They are simply covering the sutra. And then they had some discussions on that. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a proposal to him, suggestion, that look, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Api Urukrame Kurvanti Ahaitukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Gunam Hari. That Atma Ramascha Munayo, the great thinkers, the munis, the sages, those who are deriving their joy from within themselves, that means those who are situated in spiritual ecstasy, Atma Rama, although they are nirgrantha, they are totally free from all material bondage, yet kurbanti ahaitukim bhakti urukrame, they render unconditional devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why is that? That if deriving the spiritual joy or Brahma Jyoti, actually his commentary was based on impersonalistic understanding, Sarvam Bhattacharya's commentary, because they were just dwelling into Brahman realization or Brahmananda. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through this verse pointed out that those who are situated in the Brahmananda, why do they render devotional service to Krishna after that? Therefore, devotional service to Krishna is beyond Brahman realization, beyond transcendental ecstasy of realizing or becoming situated in impersonal Brahma Jyoti. And Sarvam Bhattacharya became so upset that he was the greatest scholar of India at that time, and now he has been defeated by a 24-year-old boy. Still he was thinking he's just a sentimentalist. Still he could not accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he locked himself up in his room without eating, and he was very heartbroken. So at midnight, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him. And he manifested his six-armed form in front of him. In four arms, he was holding lotus, disc, conch, and myth. And in two other arms, he was holding the sannyas danda and the water pot of a sannyasi. Seeing that, Sarvam Bhattacharya recognized who he was. And then he composed right there 100 verses in glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first one goes like, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Jogam Shikhartameka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Budhir Jastamaha Prapatte. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Jogam, his own Bhakti Yoga, which is actually the knowledge of renunciation or situation in total renunciation. In order to teach that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared, which is non-different from his own devotional service. So this way you can see that renunciation and devotional service go hand in hand. Or to be more precise, it can be said that devotional service is the mother. Bhakti is the mother, and jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renunciation, are her two sons. So wherever the mother goes, the sons also follow. So wherever there is devotion, knowledge and renunciation will automatically become manifest there. So in order to teach that science of renunciation, Vairagya Vidya, which is non-different from his own devotional service. Shikhartham Eka, Purusha Purana, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, has appeared. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here we can see the greatest scholar of that time, who was an impersonalist. The impersonalist, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, are the worst offenders to Krishna. Mayavadi, Krishna Aparadhi. The impersonalists are the worst offenders to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now that although an impersonalist and the greatest scholar of his time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, although at the beginning he was completely rejecting the concept that this personality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, now surrendered himself to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in his glorification, he wrote such beautiful poems. And as a result of that, the other impersonalists became very upset with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like there was one person called Prakashananda Saraswati. He was the head of all the sannyasis. And he was extremely upset that this person converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya into a devotee. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you know, had an encounter with him, and Prakashananda Saraswati also became a devotee. So this is the clear indication of the actual identity of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now let's hear from Ravindra Sarvabhu.
You're such a hard act to follow. There's a temptation when you're going to speak to think about what you're going to say and not listen, but in this case I was just listening. There is a, maybe you're familiar with the famous name of Groucho Marx, an American comedian, a comic actor. So in one of his movies, his character was invited to join a very exclusive gentleman's club. And he would extend him this invitation. And he reacted with indignation. He said, "What? I would not belong to any club that would have me as a member." So it's sort of like that with ourselves. Because what Lord Chaitanya is giving is so extremely elevated on the one hand. And on the other hand, if it's so elevated, why am I offered admission into it? So unqualified. But that is the essence of what Mahaprabhu does. That what he's offering is much higher than great scholars and big Vedantas and other people can reach.
Even Brahma.
Huh?
Even Lord Brahma.
Even Lord Brahma. So it's very, very difficult. If you are ascending to the absolute by different processes, there's Brahman realization, but that just turns out to be entry level. And up above that is Paramatma, and then beyond that is Bhagavan. And then, as Maharaj is saying, you can look at Bhagavan realization, and that also has its levels of intimacy. Prabhupada refers to this as most confidential knowledge. And he explains that when something is confidential, not everyone will be able to appreciate it. He gives the example that if I have pictures of my children, or grandchildren, or whatever, I share those with other relatives. If I stop, you know, with strangers and say, hey, these are my good, they're not going to be interested in them. This is your grandchildren. Yeah, that's good. But if they're your relatives, oh, yeah, look at that. It looks something, you know. So not everyone will be able to appreciate. So Krishna consciousness is like that. It's very, very elevated and esoteric. And it's at the end of a dialectic, you might say, because the karma platform, the world is being enjoyed, and then after you get some understanding of what the world is really like, if you see the material world the way it really is, and what are the true prospects for enjoyment. And then also you begin to get the idea that, in fact, our enjoyment is the cause of our suffering. Krishna says this very, very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, Yehi Samsparshaja Bhoga Dukkha Yonaya Evate. Those pleasures, bhoga, the enjoyments, those enjoyments, some sparsha jhana that arise from the contact. Sparsha means contact, touch, but here the contact between all the senses and their objects. So it's sense perception. Some sparsha jhana, bhoga. Yehi some sparsha jhana, bhoga. There's a he in there for emphasis. Dukkha yonaya evate. They are in fact the birthplace of all dukkha suffering. So the world is just the opposite of what people think. That this knowledge alone should destroy the economy. Yeah, he sounds funny. Yoga, dukkha, you know. Have dukkha, you know. Suffer more. The more you enjoy the material world, the greater your suffering. Adyanta Vanta Konteya says that because these pleasures, they have a beginning and they have an end, and those who are wise take no delight in them. The word Buddha is there. It's a kind of a Buddhist verse, in a way. those who are dukkha, they don't take any delight in them. So that's kind of entry-level spiritual life is when one understands that. The other reason we probably discusses at the end of that purport or mentions is that the more one tries to enjoy material nature, the more one identifies with it. So this false enjoyment of the self, the soul with the body, is caused by sense gratification. That's why sense gratification is bad for you. It is the cause of suffering. And you can say to yourself all you want, oh, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, I'm not the body. I believe that. But I will actually identify with the body anyway if I'm still trying to enjoy it. You just get, that's just my existential condition. So that's the beginning of spiritual realization. And then the next thing people try to do is almost go to the opposite side of it. And this is the Mayavada, which so far is against the material world, it said decides it doesn't even exist. It just writes it out of the ontology. Ontology means the inventory of what there is. It comes from the Greek word ontos for being. It's out of existence. It's not really there. Shankara says it cannot be perceived either as existing or as not existing. Because if it's not there, what is it you're talking about? If it's not there. So sort of. It has this kind of semi-existence. So it's a total rejection of the world. Mayavada completely rejects. And when it rejects it, it says no name, no form, no qualities, no pastimes. Because in their mind, it's based on the world. Name means material name. Form means material form. Activities mean material activities. That's just natural life. A spiritual activity to them would be a self-contradiction. So they get that far. To go from there to bhakti requires some help. Because it's like a classic, this dialectical progression that the philosopher Hegel talked about, and that Marx took over in a different way, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. When the synthesis, things are, they use a German word, aufheben, lifted up, raised up. So in bhakti, the world comes back. It returns. Form returns, name returns, all these things, but as spiritual form, spiritual name, spiritual activity. And the material world, which is now one aspect of the total reality, is neither enjoyed nor renounced. It's simply engaged in Krishna's service. So it's the highest position. And very, very few, at least Vaishnavas know this much. All the Vaishnavas know this much. But it's rare that you get there. And the Mayavadis can't understand it at all. The materialists understand it even less. For most materialists, even those who are religious, their religion is mostly karma. The tinge of bhakti attached. Even Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that when you're performing a Vedic sacrifice, which is karma kind of religion, because you have to, every offering requires the name of Vishnu is there and that he's part of the sacrifice, there is a little bhakti, and that's what helps you out. So anyway, this is very, very rare. Very hard to get to. Very sublime. Understanding. And then Mahaprabhu gives us access. It's almost unconceivable mercy that he does so. It is unconceivable, actually. And it's totally undeserved. So these two things Mahaprabhu does, it combines to something that's very, very, very sublime, and at the same time something that's very magnanimous. That people who are otherwise totally unqualified can become qualified, can have admittance to this. So this is what he's doing, as Maharaj pointed out. In this particular Kali Yuga, that Krishna comes once in the day of Brahman. Once in the day of Brahman, he shows his Vrindavan pastimes, which is the private life of God. Confidential, this is God's family, and not everybody will ever be either appreciated. And even with all that, there are people who are interested in Krishna's Raj Leela, and they just think it's some kind of sex act, mundane sexual thing going on, or something like that. Very easy for them to misunderstand it. This is one reason why it should be kept. That's the trouble with having confidential things be public. People will immediately latch onto some kind of misunderstanding. So with Krishna, he shows this Vrindavan pastimes once in a day of Brahma. But at the same time, he comes a little later as Lord Chaitanya to make it accessible. And there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Krishna came and descended, he brought this treasure house of the love of God with him, but it remained locked. So only very few people had real access to it. It was there, but it was locked. But when he came as Lord Chaitanya with his companions, the Panchatattva, they broke open the locks. They opened up the storehouse and plundered the contents and distributed as they sang, chanted, and danced to everybody, and they didn't consider who was fit and who was unfit. And to me, that part, kind of reminiscence of Krishna stealing the butter, because he distributed it to all the monkeys. Like they plundered the storehouse with the gopis and hands out their butter to everybody. So this is why Lord Chaitanya comes, because when this is available, when Krishna displays these pastimes, then he gives it to everybody and makes it possible for all of us to have it. And I think, as far as I know, Bhakti Chuswami has pointed out that if you are worshipping Lord Chaitanya, you are worshipping Radha and Krishna. This is actually how we have access, and the proper access, by the way, to Raghunuga Bhakti. If we're following the six Goswamis, for example, they are our mentors, they are our exemplars, they are the people who first digested Lord Chaitanya and understood his teachings. And they're all manjaris. Each one of them is a maidservant of one of Krishna's main gopis. They had this what's called Manjari Bhava, like a younger girl, like the gopis in Vrindavan who prayed to Katyayani to have Krishna as their husband. They're like that in their spiritual identity. And that's what they are experiencing. Because we have advanced devotees. There's a sadhaka deha and a siddha deha. The sadhaka deha means this particular body in which I am practicing devotional service. Siddha deha is a spiritual body which is one of Krishna's associates. As Maharaj said, the friendship. Parental and conjugal are fully available with Krishna. I just read from Bhaktisiddhanta, he says it's actually not two and three, it's two and a half and two and a half. To be really precise, because friendship with a sense of subordination is there with Lord Narayana.
Friendship of
like a younger child to an older brother or something, you know, like with a sense of being subordinate. But with Narayan, it's with Krishna, it's friendship with a sense of equality, or even being a little superior. So friendship is two and a half and two and a half, actually. Technically, besides this is to get into those more intimate. To relate to Krishna, where this awe and reverence is appropriate. Krishna is definitely awesome. And you want to bow down before him. There's a very famous scholarly book written by Rudolf Otto in the earlier part of this century called, in German it's Das Heilige. and translated to English is the idea of the holy. And he wanted to establish, as a kind of scholar of religion, that there was this experience that people had, which was an experience of the holy. And it puts, when you encounter the holy, das Heilige, whatever it is, it could be personal, it could be intimate, but it's das Heilige, when you experience that, there is across the literature this feeling of a great sense of real humility, of fear, trembling, and his two big examples in the book are Moses, when he encounters the burning bush, his reaction is a manifestation of God, takes off his shoes, and you want to bow down, you want to... And the other is actually the universal form from Bhagavad Gita. The same reaction that Arjuna experienced. And that same sense of subordination, of awe, and of fear, because you are encountering somebody that is so much beyond our conception of power and magnificence and might, that you can't help but be afraid. He is terrifying in a sense, but it's a kind of holy terror. Because at the same time, you're attracted. And in a sense, it's perfectly correct, because we are infinitesimally small and Krishna is infinitely great. Look at the gap between us, the ontological, realistic difference. How is it possible to love God? And therefore, most religions, they focus on this very big sense of awe and reverence. That's the big aspect of this, the hope, what the holy is. But of course, Rudolf Otto couldn't understand, being a good Protestant Christian, that the Bhagavad Gita goes on, doesn't it? And he says, Krishna said, Arjuna says to Krishna, show me your two-handed form. I want to see that. I appreciate this universal form. Yeah, it's wow. I see what you're doing. But I'm a little put off at the same time because, Krishna just sort of confessed, I'm death. I'm time. I've come to destroy everybody. That's the most terrifying thing about God. And that is, by the way, the thing that people have most against God. Those of us who preach in the West always encounter people who have openly antagonistic feelings toward God. He has created a world where everybody has to die. He is a mass murderer. To put it bluntly, that's what they think. He's mad. And there's some blunder on his part. And if I were God, I could do a better job than whoever's holding that position right now. And most people don't think that God is a demon. It's more easy to think that there is no God. But I've had the experience of talking to people who say, I don't believe in God. And then I ask them to please explain to me the God you don't believe in. And I can always say, I don't believe in that God either. What they're explaining is something like the universe where Hiranyakashipu was temporarily in charge of it, sitting on the throne of India. This is a, and there's religions like Gnosticism is almost like that, that God is a creator, God of the universe, Brahma is a demon. That there are religions like that. And when they go any higher, that's why they become impersonalists, that there's something beyond Brahma, but it's impersonal. So God has had a bad reputation in this way. But what happens in the Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna is saying, yes, I see this difficult aspect of yourself that you show me in the universal form. But I know that behind that, there's you, there's Krishna. And that is the aspect of divinity people don't have access to. They can't get there. They don't understand it. And a lot of times they are worshiping God, but a lot of times they're thinking that God, his main business is to send everybody else to hell. And that's what he really wants to do. And so you get forms of theistic religions that are very, very impossible. Because they're almost religions of resentment. Of, you know, I'm happy to see all these people in hell. And it gives us... So what saves us from all these different things is Lord Chaitanya. That he is actually giving us access to the highest aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where he is gets rid of the on reverence. You think of two dials, you know? One is majesty and the other is sweetness. Because anybody will agree that if God is the best of everything, it has to be, if there was some universal beauty contest, he would win it. He has to be, that's why the name Krishna, all attractive. That's what God is. And that's why you can say to anybody else who don't have an idea, whose idea of God is somebody unattractive, whether they worship him or disdain him, that's not what God is. God is all attractive. If you were to see God, you'd fall in love with him in a minute. So this all attractive, this is also an aspect. And the other aspect is majesty. But the majesty, whenever there's majesty, like Rudolf Otto says, you kind of have to stand back a little bit because you're aware of your creatureliness, your littleness, your tininess, your unworthiness to even be looking at. You're aware of that. So that means there's reverential worship, and that's appropriate because of Krishna's being great. But the Lord doesn't... He wants to expand loving relationships, and if he also frightens everybody, if he also overawes, let's not say frightens, let's overawes everybody, how's he going to do that? So therefore, as Narayana, his majesty overpowers his beauty and his attractiveness, but as Krishna, he turns up the... You know, turns down the majesty and turns up the beauty. That knob. So he manifests his all attractiveness, and so he's playing like a little child. But if he opens his mouth to his mother, she sees in his mouth the whole universe and sees herself looking into his mouth. You know, it's there, but it's covered by Krishna to have these intimate relationships. And anybody who understands, you know, if God is a being a greater than which none can be conceived, this is a classic Western definition by St. Anselm. The definition of God, that than which no greater can be conceived. If we give you Bhagavatam and we say to you, this is the biography of God. This is, if you understand, read Bhagavatam, study Bhagavatam, this is what we mean by God. Now you tell me just the idea of anybody greater. They won't be able to do it. I'm convinced that. Therefore, this is one reason, aside from the mercy of people like Maharaj, one reason I am convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can't show anyone, even the idea of anyone, greater. And that greatness is, is even enhanced more by this aspect of Mahaprabhu, of Chaitanya, of his coming. This is his, Krishna's own tribute to devotees. The big ambition of people is to become God. I mean, in the material world, everyone has a God project to lord it over material nature. And I had the experience once of working in an office where the lowest person in the hierarchy was this lady who controlled the supply cabinet, the supply closet. And if you wanted, she was like a sub office worker. And her job was to make sure that everybody, yeah, a few other things to do, but make sure that everybody had, well, this is old days, typewriter ribbon, paper, pencils, pens, paper clips, staples, you know, all that stuff. But if you wanted any of those things, you had better, when you went to her, pay your humble obeisances. Say nice things, stay on her good side, because otherwise you'd have to get all those things out of your own pocket. So she had a little God project. She controlled one thing, that closet. But over that, she was the Lord. So you'll see in the material world that these God projects are going on like this all the time. And so we are here in the material world because we have a God project. Let me be the enjoyer and let me be the controller. Prabhupada once was having a conversation with an Indian gentleman who was Christian from South India, and quite from what he was saying to Prabhupada, had been converted to Christianity, possibly but mostly by hearing bad things about Hinduism and Krishna from Christian missionaries. Because he said to Srila Prabhupada, "How can you worship a God who is an adulterer?" That's what he said. Understand that, an adulterer. Krishna taking other men's wife. How can you? There were like missionaries like to say, "Here's your God, Krishna, who goes out with other men's wife. And here's Jesus, you know, who's basically a brahmachari." that's who is more holy? You know, this debauched person. So that's what they did. That's what they did. So he said this, and Prabhupada said to him, he said, "Krishna is not the adulterer. You are the adulterer. All women belong to Krishna." I thought that was so cool. And the man was obviously, I was listening to the tape, so the man was like speechless. I didn't know what he was. He's a pious Christian, and yeah, I have a wife, and that's my wife, you know, I'm owner of this man. But he said, "You are the adult, all women belong to Krishna." But I have to confess that when I heard this, I felt this pang of envy in my heart. But I didn't know it was there. And I thought, what? Not just one for me to be this God? You have to be one. Oh, you get all of the women? You can't share. So I realized it was there in my heart, you know, the enjoying spirit. And that Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. And we are to be enjoyed by him. And so the people that are into at least religion with regulated sense gratification, they don't understand this. So what sense gratification is, it is the act of atheism. It means I'm taking something that belongs to Krishna and seizing it for myself. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. And so it takes a lot to become purified from that. And that's what Mahaprabhu is making possible for us to do. So when he comes, you know, then he shows Krishna as they're all attractive. as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He makes him accessible to us by bringing this process of bhakti over. And really, I mean, just to make the basis of it, the Maha Mantra is a genius, comprehensive idea that, because it means, bhakti means to engage the senses. You cannot become purified of sense gratification in the ideas unless the senses have engagement. This is what the Mayavadis can't do. You know, the senses are always there to bug you all the time as you're trying to just deny them and negate them. But here you engage the senses, begin with the tongue, and then, you know, there's these two syllables, you know, just Krishna. The three words, Hari, Krishna, and Rama. He's put everything into this Maha Mantra. And so the prototype engaging the senses in the service of Krishna is simply chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's so accessible. You don't have to understand Sanskrit. You can just, you know, these simple words. Has this immense potency because you are associating with Krishna. Again, as Maharaj said, this is in one particular form through Lord Chaitanya as a devotee, that simultaneously he's giving us this devotional service to everybody. And of course, by being a devotee, becoming a devotee himself, because all oh yeah, let me go back to where I was. Everybody in the material world wants to become God. But God himself wants to become a devotee. Because basically this is Krishna thinking that somehow Brother Radharani is by being his devotee is having experiences that even he can't have. Because she's the ashraya, she's the person that has these feelings toward me, these wonderful feelings, and I'm the vishaya, I'm the object that inspires those things. And from my position, I can't experience what she's experiencing, because it says there's three things. He wants to, first of all, I'm the supreme enjoyer, but what I cannot experience is the feelings that Radharani especially, as the prototype of all devotees, is feeling. She's got something I don't have. Now, God doesn't accept limitations. She has something I don't have. But I can't do it because I'm God, you know. I'm kind of stuck in my own position. As a supreme Lord, and the other thing is, he wants to understand. Anyway, what is it about me that inspires such feelings in her? Because I know something about myself I don't understand, but it really is, I'd like to see and just look at myself from her eyes and just understand what it is and experience it. For myself. So for these reasons, he wants to become. He becomes a devotee. And so nothing is impossible for him. So he puts on her beauty, her color, golden color, and her bhava, and her feelings. And in this way, he appears as Mahaprabhu. So this is like, if you think of manifestations of God that are increasingly more advanced, Mahaprabhu is actually as far as it goes, where he turns around again, and because, yeah, show God at his greatest, God becomes his own devotee. And then in that, as a devotee, those by nature very merciful, he becomes the most merciful of devotees. So he combines in himself these two seemingly contradictory things, this incredible access to the real private life of God, and the idea of being able to be very, very merciful and liberal with it. And this is an aspect that Mahaprabhu is an aspect of the Supreme Lord, which is not really explicit even in the Bhagavatam. And we have to accept the supplements to the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, thing like Chaitanya Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya. It's there in there implicitly, but he brings it out. So this is why people have to understand that the personality of Lord Chaitanya, at least it's important to me, just once you see it, you can recognize the philosophical, as we say in Islam, I would say theological, but the theological necessity for understanding the greatness of God, a greater than which none can be conceived, has to have Mahaprabhu in it. That's my conclusion. And we just have to consider ourselves to be supremely fortunate to be the recipients of this and to be born at that particular time. I mean, because Mahaprabhu was not here that long ago when you look at the span of history, even human recorded history right now, not very long ago. And especially Srila Prabhupada is taking the step of really showing this magnanimity of the Lord. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So, does anybody have any question or comment?
Well, Murad, you mentioned that in about Tatanamu, what we actually worship Tatanamu with all reverence.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Whether we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in awe and reverence.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipped in awe and reverence, but this worship leads us to Krishna in a very intimate relationship of the relationship that is centrally based on country will.
Also, we would worship, say, the six Goswamis in the same way, but that is also an entry into their way of worshiping a Krishna in their spiritual the spiritual forms. I mean, in a sense, the six Goswamis are in both ways eternal, because in the transcendental Navadvipa, Lord Chaitanya and his associates are all there. That's why Prabhupada said we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. And literally, the followers of Lord Chaitanya, I think I'm right about this, we have two, if we go back to Godhead, we're in two places at once, at least. One in Chaitanya Lila and one in Gaura Lila, right?
Chaitanya Lila and Vrindavan.
Excuse me, Vrindavan Lila, yeah, Chaitanya, Gaura Lila and Krishna Lila. We're in two places at once.
Yeah.
And the one with Lord Chaitanya will always be on reverence. But that means appreciating Krishna and his Vrindavan Lila and closeness and intimacy. And
yeah, in simple words, Vaidhi Bhakti to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leads to Raganuga Bhakti to Radha Krishna. And as Ravindra Sarupur pointed out, that, say, when you approach the Goswamis, not only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when you approach the Goswamis, that approach is in awe and reverence. But then we get access to Vrindavan, there we find that these Goswamis are much great, you know, intimate servants of the gopis in their intimate dealing with Srimati, Shri Krishna. Yes?
I had a question from in the Madhyavidam 19, 151, it says that Brahman Dravite Kona Bhagavan Bhagavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasad is like Bhakti Rata Bhajan. So it says that when we get a Bhakti Rata each, but in that purport itself, another verse is quoted from 22nd chapter 107, which says that the state of devotion is eternally present in the heart. So these two things contradict itself.
Okay, I'll request Ravindra Prabhu to answer this question.
The Bhakti Lata Bija that comes into the heart is our original relationship with Krishna is already there. It's not something that's given to us. It's who we are. It's our eternal spiritual identity. But the seed that's sown in the heart by the spiritual master is that which makes our original identity become manifest. So both are true. But the idea that we somehow or other we have no relationship with Krishna innately, but that's not our identity. We are somehow just floating around in our spiritual sense in the Brahma Jyoti without any contact with Krishna. That's superficial. But the swarm of the jiva is Nitya Krishna Das, then we have some kind of relationship with Krishna innately. We are constituted by the relationship with Krishna. As devotional service progresses, as we advance in devotional service, and Krishna becomes more and more revealed to us, we also become more and more revealed to ourselves. And what that bija does is give us the seed of that progression so that both we, Krishna, become manifest to us and we become manifest to ourselves, who I really am. Otherwise, there was a controversy at one time in this time where some people got the idea that we fell from the Brahma Jyoti. That the Brahma Jyoti has all these souls who never had any relationship with Krishna, and we fell from the Brahma Jyoti. And Prabhupada responded to this by saying that no, fallen means to fall from a higher position, and then that if you're in the Brahma Jyoti, you're already fallen. So it denies this idea that somehow we don't have a relationship with Krishna. That relationship is there.
And that's my understanding. Want to?
No, it's fine. Thank you.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes, Madam Rukmini. Give her the mic.
You say that the Christians also have an idea that God is coming in the form of a devotee, although maybe it's not theologically developed. That God as Jesus is coming as a devotee.
What about it?
Well, that they also have that.
There's a notion like that. That's right. although, this is developed, but that is something that they're trying to understand. I mean, basically, with Jesus, the relationship is always one of either servitorship or passive adoration with God. When you say God is the Father, the relationship of a child to a father is a variation of dasa rasa, of a servitorship, subordinate servitorship. Children may not like to have this idea,
but I would say that this Christian concept is misconstrued.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Because although they are saying that God came as a devotee, but Jesus is saying he's the Son of God. He's not saying that he is God.
No,
so they have misconstrued that concept, most probably from us.
There's two things he says, that the Father and I are one, and my Father is greater than me. So as far as I can understand, he isn't God. But they didn't have any category to understand how you could be a servant and still be divine. And so they put together this, the idea of the Trinity as three aspects of Godhead. And there's truth into it, as far as I can see that, but they've taken this kind of partial truth and amplified it. And if you could consider him Jesus, it only goes so far. You know, with Mahaprabhu, you find out so much more about Godhead. But within the Judeo-Christian tradition, there's always on reverence. It says that in the Bible that when Moses met God, when he went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandment tablet, what it says is that he could not see God's face. He only saw his backside. So it depicts God as having a form, with a backside meaning a rear end, but he couldn't see his face. And to me, that's sort of a limitation. And when generally in a Christian tradition, although now they're being a little more inspired by Vaishnavism, but generally in a Christian tradition, you know, that's as far as it gets. That God is a person, but his real face is covered by this dazzling effulgence, and that effulgence hasn't been removed, so that they cannot have this appreciation.
But they also have some people who talk about a bridal theology within.
Yeah, the bride of Christ. I don't know how to evaluate that entirely. Yeah, but the so-called bridal mysticism. That's based on the song of Solomon's Songs, which describes, the Jews took it as describing the relationship between God and Israel. It's a wedding song. It's in the form of a kind of song that would be sung in celebration of a wedding of the bride and the bridegroom and their love for each other. And it got included in the Bible. Controversially, by the way, some people thought it didn't belong, but it got included in the Bible. And some scholars wonder whether it was actually just a secular song that included or not. But anyway, it's in there. And then Christians took it over to indicate a sense of becoming the bride of Christ. And so there may be some Yeah, I don't know how to really evaluate that.
I don't have to, actually.
Let's stick to Golgotha. Yeah. Oh, Nitin?
Hare Krishna. So, this is like a follow-up to the first question that Nandana Prabhu asked. And you mentioned, like, I've heard this like a few times, but I just wanted some more clarification. You mentioned that Vaidya Bhakti Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is transformed or leads to Radhika. So, like, is it like something that, like, also I was thinking how Prabhu, you mentioned about the Rupa Raghunatha Pate, doing the activity that, you know, worshipping group and the Goswamis in the form of heavens. So, I'm just thinking because, like, right now we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mode of awe and reverence, and also on the fall of the Radha Krishna is also awe and reverence. So, that feeling of awe and reverence, is it going to be like transformed to a different mood at a particular time in our spiritual progress? Or, like.
Yes, yes. Like, the example is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's encounter with Ramananda Roy. Like, At the ultimate point, Ramananda Roy is seeing Radha Krishna in place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, approach to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is through Vaidhi Bhakti, awe and reverence. Like, if we look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I mean, he's a devotee. He's a spiritual master. The approach to the spiritual master is in awe and reverence. So, we are approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through awe and reverence, and as Krishna pointed out, that the whole world worships me following Vaidhi Bhakti. Shakul jagote mone, shakul jagote, mane entire universe, kare Vaidhi Bhakti, serves me following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, which means awe and reverence. But Vidhi Bhakti Brajo Prem Dite Nari Shakti. Vaidhi Bhakti cannot give Brajo Prem. Therefore, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, we are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures in awe and reverence. But that is being transformed automatically, spontaneously, into Brajo Bhakti, Brajo Prem. Loving the relationship with Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan. Actually, in that respect, there is a very beautiful verse spoken by Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. Yatha yatha gaura padar vinde vinde to bhaktin krita punya rashi. Vrindavan's attachment to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaura due to Krita Punya Rashi, due to heaps of pious activities. He develops his attachment to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Tatha Tathut Sarpati Ridhi Akashmat.
To that same extent, right?
Akashmat means all of a sudden. All of a sudden, accordingly, all of a sudden the heart becomes inundated with the nectar flowing from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So, yeah, the transformation, you know, will take place without our conceiving.
On its own accord.
Of our own accord.
On its own accord.
Like, in a way, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Radha Krishna. So, you are seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of a sudden you see Radha Krishna. So, where were you at that time? You're in Vrindavan. You're transported to Vrindavan.
Yeah, it'll happen of its own.
Yeah,
its own.
It'll happen just by...
You don't have to make it happen. To the same extent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That Sanskrit, tatha, yata, you know.
Yatha, yatha. Tatha, tatha, utshat puti. Yeah. Accordingly. Yes, Vrindavan. Yeah. This is your turn.
Huh?
It's your turn to answer this.
Oh, see you all.
Okay.
Actually, I was just going to make a comment.
Okay.
It was very, to me, one of those times when sometimes you think a whole class is going to be personally. Prabhupada's, look it up in the database, he was saying how people want to worship Radha and Krishna. But he said, first you have to know how to worship Krishna. And if you want to worship Krishna, first you must worship Mahaprabhu. And then he got very strong and he said, and do not think that you can worship Mahaprabhu unless you first worship Nityananda.
Yeah.
And don't think you can worship Nityananda until you have followed in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. And don't think you can follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis if first you don't follow the orders of the spiritual master.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. Kind of my question, theological question, and Reverend Sarah mentioned giving a presentation that one of the main reasons God of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to understand the moon of Srimati Radharani, what is it that she's experiencing and I don't know. So one of the definitions of God is all-knowing. He knows everything. So one may argue, how is it possible that God doesn't know what his devotee feeling, and he has to come, or he has to appear to understand that. So do you please?
Well, we're talking about it temporarily, but Lord Chaitanya is the eternal aspect of God, where he is trying to understand his devotees and experience what they're doing. He's Lord Chaitanya, and that's eternally there. So to say that he doesn't know, and that then later on he finds out, is not exactly like that. But there's a dynamic. I mean, it's not that things have an upper limit. One thing that doesn't have an upper... Well, Prabhupada described this, actually. He did this in New Vrindavan on John Mosley. He was looking at Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And he had said how nice it is that, Krishna has appeared, Radha Krishna appeared like American boys and girls. They're like Americans to him. And then he described this, and this is based on what's in Jitama Charitamrita. He says that Radha looks at Krishna and she sees how beautiful Krishna is. And when she sees how beautiful Krishna is, her joy increases. And when her joy increases, she becomes more beautiful. Because we know that when people are happy, they look better. And so, of course, there's a limitation about how far our material bodies can go. Expressing our mentality. But in the spiritual world, where there's no difference between the soul and the body and the mind, then when her happiness increases, she becomes more beautiful. And then Krishna sees that Radharani has become more beautiful, and his happiness increases, and his beauty increases. And so he says it goes on this with no end. They're eternally increasing. So this is what's going on in the spiritual world. These things like beauty, happiness, they have no upper limit. And so Krishna is not static. He's dynamic. And he's always increasing. So this means that in the spiritual world, there's spiritual time. People think of timelessness as just stasis, where everything just frozen in ice or something, like plastic. Not like that. But things are always increasing. And so this, when you have a dynamic like this, So this is also what's happening. So this is an internal aspect of God that we're seeing, especially in terms of Krishna saying, yeah, I can experience, so I want to experience. So that's why Radha and Krishna and Chaitanya are all, the three are eternally there. As soon as there's Radha and Krishna, one aspect of Krishna's mentality produces Chaitanya. So that's how it's done. Okay.
So we can have one last question maybe? Yes, Sudhakar?
So, on one side, we are told to be humble than a layer of class and patient directly. We also have instances in India where Krishna tech is being programmed by people of other faiths because they don't feel in Krishna. How do we look at it and what should your attitude be?
Can you repeat it? Like, I could. Yeah.
We are told to be humble and Vedakras and patient and tree.
Yeah.
But people of other religions also break up Krishna deities in India.
People of other faith?
Destroy the temples and the deities. Huh. So, how can they talk? How much can they be tolerated?
Okay.
What is it?
You see, in one hand, we are told to be more humble than a blade of grass and tolerant than a tree. Mm-hmm. But how do we react when people are destroying the other temples? Well, very good question. But here the consideration actually is, you see, Kali Yuga is a very difficult age. And it's the age of quarrel, age of conflict. So once you give yourself to conflict, there's not going to be any end to it. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a very, very, very tolerant stand. Just chant the holy name and I will take care of everything. Right? Like, and what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the emphasis on is on the holy name, not completely emphasis on the worshipping in the temple. So the thing is that you can see, like, they broke one temple or they broke something and the reaction came in, and then it kept on escalating the conflict. Therefore, better just let them do whatever they're doing. And let us keep on chanting the holy name, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and in due course of time, the whole atmosphere will change. The whole atmosphere will change, and then millions of temples will appear in all over the world. Like, another consideration is, see, those who are actually sort of, making such a big issue out of Ram Mandir, they are not at all concerned about Krishna. They are not at all concerned about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So if they were really followers of Lord Ramchandra, they would recognize who Krishna is, and they would recognize who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So the real emphasis should be on the substance, not on some external acts. You wanted to add something?
Yeah, I just want to add one thing, that desire is binding. It binds you to the material world. You become attracted to the object of desire. You obsess with them and you take birth again and again. Hate is the same way. It's binding. If you hate somebody, you can't stop thinking about them. You become obsessed with them. So you become what you hate. So both of these attitudes are to be avoided, both desire and hate. And so one thing about forgiving your enemies, or being forgiving, it is that it relieves you from this attachment. And so that's why the idea of tolerance is there. So on the one hand, It's true that even sometimes Prabhupada, when devotees were attacked, he became very angry because we want to protect and take care of devotees, but that doesn't mean we should even hate those people who do it. If they're sorry, they're repentant, we should immediately forgive them or to try to help them out. But if we go on crusades against them, then we're back in the material world, and it's usually all this stuff that goes on, like we were talking about, is just basically a sectarian false ego rather than actual spiritual desires and aspirations.
Like, violence will breed violence, especially in this age of Kali. And there is no end to it. And you know how undesirable the situation is in the age of Kali? All the Kshatriyas withdrew, the real Kshatriyas withdrew, because they knew that there is not going to be any fairness in the battle. Like, it's going to be completely, you know, sort of, in the other ages the Kshatriyas used to fight based on some moral, you know, moral codes. But in the age of Kali there is no such moral codes. In the age of Kali there is no room for, you know, actual bravery. Like, the worst coward can take up a weapon and take and keep the whole nation into ransom. You know? So that's why, you know, taking to violence or taking to some, you know, means of using force to establish something is not going to work in this age. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not take that course. He came without any weapon. Because you use weapon in this age and there's no end to it. And also interesting thing to note, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, India was completely under the Muslim domination. The rulers, the Muslim rulers, were, you know, killing the Hindus in thousands a day. Mahaprabhu appeared at that time. He did not really protest into that. He just said, chant the holy name and make your spiritual advancement. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when it came to Sankirtan, Chaat Kazi tried to stop that. Then he was like a ferocious, like a lion. He did not protest the breaking of the temples and destroying the deities. But when it came to Sankirtan movement, he would not allow it to stop by any chance. Rather, at that time, he stood up in protest. So that is what we have to understand. The dharma of this age, the means of spiritual advancement in this age of Kali, is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The Yuga Dharma of this age is Sankirtan, and we simply have to stick to that. And Krishna Sudarshan Chakra will give protection to those who are taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord. So I think now, or is it Arctic time or? Okay. So I led the Kirtan. Now it's your turn to lead the Kirtan.
Kendra Prabhu is going to just do
the sport. Oh, right.
About 10 minutes in.
Okay, fine. Yeah, right. You told me, yeah. But Ekendra Prabhu is going to make a presentation.
Oh, okay.
For 10 minutes. And they told me, completely forgotten. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, all these concepts in Christianity, like, so far removed from Christianity. Like, you know, Jesus, the wine introduced.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Gaur Premanande Hari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Charya Ashtottara Shato Shri Shriman Abhay Charanarubindo Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Damodar Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki Jai. Samaveto Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaur Premanande Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I am the